all of us, having participated in this worship service, may be able to say, it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Now, my message this morning is to treasure our privileges in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the trouble with many of us is that we have got privileges in the Lord Jesus Christ, but because we are so used to them, we have taken them so much for granted, or we don't think much about them to the extent that we do not regard them as privileges at all. We think that we have them, and that we think that we should have them. And that's how we regard our privileges. Well, friends, if we realize how unworthy we are in receiving these privileges, then the privileges will become more precious to us. I'll give you an example of my own life. When I was a young person, I was very, very interested in becoming a footballer. I was by no means a natural footballer. I might say that I was more a marginal player rather than one who would become a football star. But I was very, very keen to learn how to play football. I was very, very interested to play competitive football. And so I participated in the club activities of our neighborhood. Now, the club was a very informal club. There was nothing great about the club, but we formed a team. It was a very, very loosely formed team. And then one day we were very glad that there was this man who came into our neighborhood. Now, he was a great football star. He was representing Singapore, and he was perhaps the best player in Singapore at that time. And we were so very, very glad to have him come into our neighborhood. We got acquainted with him, and he got acquainted with us. And then eventually he became our football coach. And all of us were very, very glad to have him as our coach. And he was really a very, very good coach. He would give us actually individual attention. And I was very, very glad that now and then he would call me up and give me something like 10, 15 minutes of his time to teach me how to play football. Now, I was very, very glad. I felt very, very privileged. Now, why did I feel so? Now as I look back, I realize that I felt so because I really wasn't a great player. Yes, I was a very marginal player. The coach would have spent his time better if he had spent time to coach the stars, to cause them to be better star players. And in fact, quite a few of them actually became star players. They actually got into the national team. But I was a marginal player, but the coach would spend time to coach me. How privileged I felt. I felt privileged because I felt really very, very unworthy that this coach should spend time to teach me how to play football. Now, the Apostle Paul, my dear friends, recognized the greatness of his privileges when he recognized how unworthy he was to receive these privileges from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the one true living God. And so he says this in verse 8. Yes, he felt that the privileges were so great because he realized how unworthy he was. You look at verse 8, it says here, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Let me read this for you. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He says, I am the least of all saints, and God gave me this wonderful privilege to preach the unsearchable riches among the Gentiles. Now, Paul saw himself as someone who was very, very unworthy. That's why he regarded that as a great privilege. He says that I am the least of all saints. But the truth of the matter is, now look at the Apostle Paul. We say that, of course, he was not the least of all saints. In fact, he was a saint of the highest order, one of the greatest heroes of the faith. Yes, but that was not how the Apostle Paul saw himself. The truth was, he was such a great saint that he was even given this great opportunity to be taken up into heaven where he heard things unspeakable. Now, people having that kind of privilege, not that anyone would be given that privilege by the Apostle Paul, but what I'm saying is if people were to be given that kind of privilege of being able to get into heaven, to hear things unspeakable, yes, chances are they would become very, very swollen-headed. They will think that they are very good. They will think that they are very, very special. They will think that they are so spiritual that God gives them this opportunity, this privilege, but not the Apostle Paul. In fact, he was very, very glad that God had kept him humble. And how did the Lord keep him humble? The Lord kept him humble by causing him to be afflicted by a thorn in the flesh. And so he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me as a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And so he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." God humbled him. God allowed him to be afflicted with the thorn in the flesh. And he besought the Lord three times to have it removed from him. And the Lord said unto him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." He was very, very thankful to the Lord that the Lord had kept him humble. The Lord kept him humble so that Paul would continue to be thinking in this mode, that he was the least of all saints, and that he was really very, very unworthy to be given the privilege to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, because he saw this service that was given to him to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ as a great, great privilege, he performed it. He performed this service with the utmost of his strength. He gave every ounce of his strength so that at the conclusion of his life on this earth, he was able to say, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." My dear friends, how do we see ourselves? Do we see ourselves as being better than other people spiritually? Do we or don't we? Do we think others are not as spiritual as we are? Often we show that we think that that we are better than other people. We show ourselves as being better than other people. How? By being very, very critical of other people, by being very judgmental of them. We think that their service is not as good as ours, or we think that they are not as talented as we are. And we might think that, oh, well, they are very, very worldly and so forth. My dear friends, what's the result? The result is we cause confusion in the church. Yes, if we think of ourselves as being very spiritual and we think of others as not being as good as we are, and we are very critical and very, very judgmental of them. Now, then the more we think that we are better saints than other people, the more we might think that we are deserving of the privileges that the Lord has given us. And the less we would think that it is by the grace of God that we have been given these privileges. So we might think that, well, I'm so good, I'm so spiritual. That is why I've been given this opportunity to serve in this area and that area, because I'm spiritual. My dear friends, if we think that way, sometimes the Lord has to humble us, as he did to the Apostle Paul. He might allow some kind of affliction to affect us, so that we will remain humble. Now let's take the kind of position that the Apostle Paul took. Let us regard ourselves, my dear friends, as the least of all saints. Yes, in fact, Paul saw himself as less than the least of all saints. He not only regarded himself as the least of all saints, but he saw himself actually less than the least of all saints. How did he see himself? My dear friends, he saw himself as the chief of sinners. That was how he saw himself. And so he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, I read this for you. He says this in 1 Timothy 1:15. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief," of whom I am chief. Now, I'd like us to see that he did not state it in the past tense. He stated it in the present tense. Now, Paul was already serving the Lord for many, many years. And he was writing this letter to his spiritual son, Timothy. And he says, "I am the chief of sinners." Oh, he didn't think it as something that he was in time past. Of course, he was in time past. But he says, "I am the chief of sinners." So he humbly saw himself that way. Because why? He always remembered what he was before he was converted, before he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, I read for you, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." And verse 14, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Now he remembered this. He remembered that he was a blasphemer. Yes, he blasphemed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would arrest Christians and cause the Christians to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he persecuted them. And he was very, very injurious to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when the martyr Stephen was stoned to death, at that time, Paul was a very young man. He was known as Saul at that time. I read for you this account in Acts chapter 7. We read Acts chapter 7, verse 58. Yes, chapter 7, verse 58. "And the Jews cast Stephen out of the city and stoned him," and stoned Stephen. "And the witnesses laid down their cloaks at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul." This was, of course, Paul before his conversion. He went by the name of Saul. Then after his conversion, more and more, he went by the name of Paul. Yes, the witnesses who stoned Stephen laid their clothes at the feet of this young man, Saul. Yes. Now, do you not think that it was quite possible that the Apostle Paul, Saul at that time, was an organizer of the event, or that at least he was a participant of being an organizer of the event? Yes, you don't think it was possible? I think it was quite possible. Don't forget, Paul was a very, very smart man, very intelligent man, and perhaps a very, very good organizer also. So I would, and then he was very, very zealous religiously. So I would not be surprised that he was also a participant in organizing the event, the stoning of Stephen. Now then, after this event had passed, do you not think that even after he had been converted for many years, the memory of this event would come back to him and to him again and again and again? So that no matter how great a saint he was, this memory would just come back to him. And I dare believe that when that memory came back to him, I would not be surprised at all that he would say this. "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with love and with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." And with tears in his eyes, with tears rolling down his cheeks when he remembered that event, he would say, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Yes, of whom I am chief. I would not be surprised at all. That was how he felt and how he would say to himself every time he remembered that event. So it was indeed a great privilege as far as Paul was concerned that the Lord gave to the Apostle Paul. Yes, as far as he was concerned, to make him a saint and then to appoint him as an apostle. He regarded that as a great, great privilege when he realized, yes, when he realized what a great sinner he was, the chief of sinners. Likewise, my dear friends, what a great privilege he has given to us, all of us, to make us saints, saints in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, like the Apostle Paul, we didn't go around persecuting Christians, and that's the fact. We didn't do that. But did we not break all of God's laws? I dare say we have. Did we not take his name in vain? Of course we did. Yes, did we not swear by the name of Jesus? Yes. And did we not lie? Yes. Did we not cheat? Did we not commit murder? Not with guns, not with knives. But surely, my dear friends, we must have committed murder in our heart. Or we might have committed murder with our tongue. Yes, we slander the character of people. We destroy the character of people by our tongue. And did we not commit adultery? Not physically, but we lusted in our heart. And the Lord says that you do not have to physically sleep with a woman to have committed adultery. So long as you have lusted after a woman who's not your wife in your heart, yes, you have already committed adultery. Surely we have committed adultery. And Colossians 1:21, the word of God says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." My dear friends, we were enemies of God by our wicked works. Yes, that's what we were, enemies of God by our wicked works. Let us never think that our works were not wicked. They were wicked, all right. So wicked that they required the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to wash those works away. Yes, even the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us, my dear friends, be very, very grateful to him that by his precious blood, he has given us this very, very wonderful privilege to be made his saints. By his precious blood, my dear friends, like Paul, let's remind ourselves that like him, we were chief of sinners, no better than the addict, the drug addict, no better than the junkard who fell into the ditch, no better than the murderer who is sitting in his prison cell. My dear friends, we were not better than any of this. And yet, the Lord was so kind, so gracious to us. He shed his precious blood for us, and by his blood, he has caused us to be his saints. And we are very privileged people. My dear friends, we indeed are very, very privileged. Let us treasure this privilege that he has given to us. Next, I'd like to see that Paul saw the greatness of his privilege when he saw the arrangement made by God to serve him. God made this arrangement for Paul to serve him. Paul refers to it as a dispensation. And so he told the Christians at Ephesus, he says this in verse 2, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 2. Let me read this verse for you. Verse 2. "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word," God had given him this dispensation, this arrangement. God has made this arrangement for him to be an apostle. Now, the word "if" here is not an expression of doubt, right? What it means is that it could be translated this way: since you have heard of the dispensation of grace, or seeing that you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word. Yes, Paul indeed was, God made this arrangement. He gave this arrangement to the Apostle Paul. Yes, he made this arrangement for him for a very special grace to be bestowed upon him. Yes, and that grace was to cause him to become a saint and also to call him to be an apostle to the Ephesians, and not only to the Ephesians, but to all, to the Gentiles. He was called not only to be an apostle to the Jews, but to the Gentiles primarily. Now remember, Paul was an enemy of the gospel, the chief of sinners, but God called him to be a saint, and not only that, made him an apostle. God gave him a very, very special commission. God said to him, or the Lord said to him, you are my apostle. You are going to be an apostle, particularly to the Gentiles. That's what the Lord told him. You are going to open their eyes. You are going to turn them from darkness to light. You are going to turn them from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So Paul saw this arrangement made by God to give him this special grace, the grace of being called an apostle, a great, great privilege. Now, to have a faint idea of the greatness of this privilege, of having this arrangement made by God for God to use him, to allow Paul to serve him. Let me give you an illustration. All right, let me give you an illustration. And again, I like to say that this is a fictitious illustration. All right, this is a fictitious illustration. As I mentioned before, we don't think enough of our privileges. That's why we don't treasure them enough. But let me give you this illustration of this, the value of this arrangement that God made to cause Paul to be an apostle. Now today, because of COVID-19, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, we almost forget that the world is at war with terrorism, and terrorism is at war with the world. We almost forget that. And we forget that there are lots of active terrorists around. Now, while I was preparing this message, I looked into the internet and to find out how many terrorists there are in the world. I just clicked terrorists in the world today, and I found that there are something like more than 50 terrorists. The names are all listed. More than 50 terrorists on the most wanted list of the FBI. The FBI has about more than 50 of these terrorists on their list, most wanted terrorists. Now, let's say that among them, this is imaginary, okay? Among them, there is a terrorist by the name of Abdullah. Now, Abdullah is a terrorist who perpetrates his crimes in America and nowhere else, in the land of America only. And he has killed many Americans. Now, then one day he's arrested. And of course, he was charged, found guilty, and then committed to prison. And then it is life sentence for him. Then in prison, something unusual happens to him. Yes, he was de-radicalized. Yes, he realizes that all that he has done in time past was wrong, and that he was really performing very, very criminal acts. Yes, he was perpetrating crimes against humanity, and he regrets very, very much what he did, and he wishes that the clock could be turned backwards so that he could live his life again and then be a good man and be spreading messages of peace rather than to be perpetrating those crimes. And then president of the U.S. heard about him, about this man, Abdullah. Now, recently in the U.S. election, I heard about the power of the president. And in fact, President Trump actually demonstrated his great power by pardoning so many criminals. And he has that great power. And of course, this president has great power to pardon the crime of this terrorist. And so he decides to pardon him, and he's pardoned. And then he's released from prison. And then not only that, he's not only a free man, but he's given a very, very special position, the position of being an ambassador for peace. And his job is to go around the world to spread the message of peace, the message of anti-terrorism. Now, do you not think that this man will feel very, very privileged and feel very, very thankful that he's been given this position? Yes, he would realize how unworthy he is to have this arrangement, this dispensation made for him, as it were, to be appointed this to be this ambassador. But friends, that is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for the Apostle Paul, and more. Yes, Paul was a blasphemer, the great persecutor of the church, the enemy of the gospel, who ferreted out Christians to have them persecuted. The Lord forgave him. And then the Lord appointed him to be an apostle of the gospel to the Gentiles. Do you not see then that it was really a very, very great privilege given to him? I'm sure the Apostle Paul, yes, regarded that as a very, very great privilege given to him, that God should call him, who was the least of all saints, the chief of sinners, to become an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can regard Abdullah as being wicked, and we can regard Paul as a great enemy of the gospel before he was converted. But let us never, ever think that we are any better than any of these people in God's sight. Remember what we were in time past. My dear friends, we were dead in trespasses and sin. We were walking according to the course of this world. Well, we were walking in accordance with the bidding of the evil one, the prince of the power of the air, and where we were walking according to the lust of our flesh. Yet, the Lord was so kind, so gracious to us to have given us this privilege. He saved us by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his precious blood, he has caused us to become saints. And not only have we been made saints, my dear friends, like the Apostle Paul, all of us who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have been given this wonderful privilege, the privilege of being ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, we have been given this wonderful privilege, the privilege of being ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. I read for you 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. To wit, which means that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What an honor, a great, great honor he has given to us. My dear friends, do you not regard this as a great privilege, that he should appoint us to be his ambassadors? We are dead in trespasses, enemies of God by our wicked works. Yes, the chief of sinners. And yet he has called us to be his ambassadors. Yes. And he calls us to be ambassadors, my dear friends, to of course, give the gospel out, to live as ambassadors for him. Now, we have been given this great privilege of being ambassadors, but along with the privilege, of course, we have our responsibility. And our responsibility, my dear friends, is to be the best ambassadors that we can. Yes, we are to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to shine for him. And we are to tell the world, show forth to the world, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to tell them this very, very, this great news that that the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, yes, God has made him who knew no sin, God has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. God, he was made a sin offering for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is the message we are to bring to people. Yes, we have received this message, we have believed this message, and now God has appointed us to be his ambassadors. This is the message that we are to bring to others. Let us, my dear friends, show that we treasure this privilege that the Lord has given to us by being the best ambassador that we can be. Next, I'd like us to see that Paul saw the greatness of his privilege when he was shown God's wonderful mystery. Yes, there was a mystery shown to him. And when Paul received that mystery, he counted it as a great, great privilege, because it was a mystery not revealed to saints in time past, but revealed to him and to his fellow apostles and to the prophets of his time. I look at verse 3 in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 6. Verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. You see, God made known unto him the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, this mystery, my dear friends, is not something mysterious as read of mysteries in detective novels. Now, that's not what is meant by mystery here. Neither is it something bizarre, but rather it was something that was concealed by God, a truth that was concealed by God, and God revealed it at his own good time, at the appropriate time. And that precisely was what he did. He revealed it to the Apostle Paul and other apostles and prophets at the right time, during the time of the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul saw it as a great privilege that God should reveal such a great mystery to him. Now, let's see the greatness of this message, the mystery itself. Yes, the greatness of this message or the greatness of this mystery itself. And we'll see why the Apostle Paul regarded it as such a great privilege for him to be made known this mystery and to share this mystery with all men. Now, but before I go on to that, I want to give you an illustration of the kind of privilege we have if someone important were to share with us something that is very, very important, and share with us only and not with other people. You'll find that you realize that it's such a great privilege that this somebody very, very important to share such a very important message with us. Right? Let me give you this illustration. Now, all of us who come from Singapore or who have visited Singapore might know of this supermarket chain known as Sheng Siong. Now, Sheng Siong is, I think, a family-owned business. It has got something like 61 outlets. And then these supermarket stores are not huge supermarket stores. They're quite small, and they are like our local IGAs in Sydney. Now, in the year 2020, now this... part of what I'm going to say are facts, part of them are fictitious, all right? Now, in the year 2020, Sheng Siong did very well. And that's a fact. Sheng Siong did very well. Now then, the boss decided that, the owner of the company decided that he must go around to thank all the employees. Now, this part could be fictitious, all right? So he decided to go around to say thank you to for all his employees in the 61 outlets. So he visited one by one. Now, at each of the supermarket stores, he would talk to the store manager. He would pull up the store manager, and then he would whisper into the ears of the store manager. And he would say to the store manager, you see, the employees work very, very hard and very, very appreciative of what they have done. Yes, and what I'm going to do is that I'm going to give a 16-month bonus to every of the employees. In other words, for the whole year, the year of 2020, every Sheng Siong employee will get 16 months' salary. And you, store manager, you are the only one who knows, and all the other fellow store managers of yours would also know. But my immediate reports or my immediate subordinates do not know of this. Only you, store managers, get to know about this. But keep it a secret. I want it to be a big, big, happy surprise to the employees. I want it, the employees to appreciate this big ang pao that is going to come to them. Now, when you hear the owner of the company say such a thing to you, how would you feel? I say, of course, you'll be very happy because you know that you're going to get your 16-month salary. And also you feel that you are very, very privileged. Wow, the owner didn't tell it even to his immediate subordinates. The owner tells it to me. Yes, I feel very, very privileged to have been told this very, very important news, this so-called secret or mystery of life. Now, my dear friends, now did I Sheng Siong employees get the 16-month salary? This one is yes, true. They got 16-month salary this year. Now, if you don't believe me, you go to Singapore and visit the Sheng Siong store today. I can tell you the employees are all very happy to serve you, all very, very polite and very, very service-oriented because they got the 16-month salary. Now, that's a fact. All right. Now, the greatness of this mystery. The greatness of this mystery or the message which the store manager received, my dear friends, is nothing compared to the greatness of the message that the Apostle Paul received from the one true living God. Yes, you know, angels even didn't get to know about this mystery. Yes, the angels here in verse 10 are referred to as the principalities and powers in heavenly places. They didn't even get to know of this mystery. And this mystery was shown to the Apostle Paul, to his fellow apostles, and to the prophets at that time. And Paul was given this privilege to make known this mystery to all men. Yes, to all men. And so that through the church, yes, through the church, the angelic beings would be able to see the great wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God in when they see this mystery put into operation. Now, so this was the assignment given to the Apostle Paul. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. And now to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be shown by the church the manifold wisdom of God. See how privileged the Apostle Paul was to have this wonderfully great mystery revealed to him. He was indeed very, very privileged, or at least he felt that he was very, very privileged that this mystery was revealed to him. Now, we have been talking about this mystery. Now, what was this mystery that was so great? It was this. Look at verse 6. All right, verse 6. This was the mystery. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the Jews. Not only were the Jewish believers going to be heirs of God, but Gentiles would be fellow heirs with the Jews. And of the same body, Gentile believers and Jewish believers will all become members of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Gentiles would be fellow heirs of God with the Jews, fellow members of the same body, fellow partakers of the promise of God by the gospel. Gentiles, that Jews are going to be heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was the mystery. Of course, today you say, what's so great about the mystery? No mystery. Today, we all are members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you were living in the first century, yes, you will understand that that was a great mystery. Because now, in the Old Testament, it was very, very clear. Remember, there was no New Testament at that time, no books written, but the records were all found in the Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, it was very, very clear that the Jews was a specially chosen people. Now, that's very clear. No debate about that. They were God's people, and God was their God, because God had told Abraham, their great ancestor, Abraham, you and your descendants will be my people, and I will be your God and the God of your descendants. Now that was clear. Who were the descendants? The Jews. What about Gentiles? Gentiles were excluded. Yes, you understand, Gentiles were excluded. And if Gentiles wanted to become believers in those days, they had to become Jews, first of all, to become believers. So, my dear friends, it was a great, great privilege. Yes, that the Gentiles was going to be come members, were going to become members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this was the mystery. Now God's word, of course, did say that. God's word, of course, did say that the Gentiles would become believers in the one true living God. And that is clear also in the Old Testament. Gentiles become believers in the one true living God. But there was one thing that the Jews could never accept, right? And could never accept, and that was this: that the Gentiles and the Jews would be placed on equal footing before the one true living God. Something that the Jews could never understand, could never appreciate, because they said, we are descendants of Abraham. God made this covenant with Abraham. Abraham, you and your descendants would be my people, and I will be their God. God never made this covenant with the Gentiles, you see. So they had that kind of mentality. So for Jews and Gentiles, or for Gentiles and Jews to be placed on equal footing, was really a mystery. To Jews, of course, also to Gentiles. Now, we also know that sometimes outsiders, not necessarily descendants of the deceased, will get a part of the inheritance. And that's true, right? For example, when a master passes away and then he's got a servant who is very, very faithful in his service unto him. And then when the master passes away, the master will give a portion of the inheritance to him. And that is true. But in this instance, God made it very, very clear through the Apostle Paul that Gentiles were not outsiders. The Jews were not going to regard the Gentiles as outsiders, no longer aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, not outsiders. They were very, very much a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members of the same body. Yes, fellow heirs with the Jews on equal footing. Now that was the mystery, my dear friends. Yes. Of course, there were false teachers in those days who tried to promote that their false teaching. They continued to say that, well, if people wanted to become believers, they first of all had to become Jews before they could become believers. But Paul makes it very, very clear. No, the Lord has revealed this mystery to me. Gentiles are fellow members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Now, the other part of the mystery is that Gentiles will become fellow partakers of God's promise in Christ by the gospel. Right? If you look at the verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Yes, Gentiles will become fellow partakers of God's promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, the partaking of God's promise refers, of course, first of all, to the fact that refers to the promise that God made to Abraham. Remember when God called Abraham, God to Abraham, "In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." All the families, all the nations, whether Jews or Gentiles, all will be blessed in you through your descendant, the Messiah, in you. Now, that's a fact. But friends, there's one other thing that this promise of God speaks of. And this promise of God in Christ Jesus refers to the outpouring of God's mighty Holy Spirit at the time of Pentecost. The outpouring of God's mighty Holy Spirit at the time of Pentecost. Now, you will remember that at the time of Pentecost, there were gathered in the city of Jerusalem Jews. All were Jews. Remember that? They were gathered together to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And who were converted on that day? They were converted by when the Holy Spirit was outpoured unto them, and 3,000 of them came to believe. That's through the outpouring of God's mighty Holy Spirit. And all those who received this outpouring were all Jews. Remember that? So it never occurred to them that this outpouring could be to Gentiles. But actually it was made clear by Peter himself when he said that this outpouring of the Holy Spirit will be upon all flesh, not only to Jews, but upon all flesh. So Gentiles will be included. Now, actually, Peter also found it very, very hard to appreciate that fact. Yes, he didn't quite understand until the day God gave him this vision when he was staying at this place called Joppa. God gave him a vision. God lowered a big sheet from heaven on which were all kinds of four-footed beasts and creeping things. All were unclean. And the Lord said to Peter, "Peter, eat." Peter said, "Lord, I'm a Jew. How could I eat these unclean things?" And the Lord said, "The things that I've cleansed, don't you ever regard them as unclean." And then Peter woke out of his trance, and then he was asking himself the meaning of this vision that God had given to him. Then God made it clear to him that the gospel has now gone to the Gentiles. The outpouring of God's mighty Holy Spirit has now also gone to the Gentiles, not only to Jews. And so the Lord led Peter to go to the house of Cornelius, where Cornelius received God's Holy Spirit and received the Lord Jesus Christ, received the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And he manifested it by the speaking of tongues. Now, let's understand that this is not a common experience, that people receiving or becoming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ receive the Holy Spirit and then he speaks in tongues. No, my dear friends, that's not the teaching here. Peter had to know. Peter wouldn't have known whether this man had really received the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. He wouldn't have known. And the only way for him to know was that this man, the centurion, was able to speak in tongues. And he spoke tongues. And so Peter knew that now, for sure, the gospel had gone to the Gentiles. Gentiles had also received the outpouring of God's mighty Holy Spirit. Now, all of us are Gentiles, friends. Are we not grateful to the Lord that this wonderful mystery is finally revealed to us? That we too have a share in the gospel. Not only do Jews have a share in the gospel, we have a share in the gospel. Let us never take it for granted. Of course, it's history now. For 20 years, for 2,000 years, the gospel has been preached and the gospel had gone to Gentiles. And that's a fact. But friends, never let us take it for granted. But this was never so, all right, in Old Testament times. We have now become heirs and joint heirs with the Jews. We are fellow members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and are not outsiders. Yes, we are now fellow partakers of the promise of the Holy Spirit from God. God did not exclude us Gentiles from his salvation plan. How sad, how miserable it would be, my dear friends, if we had been excluded, and that if we wanted to become believers, we have first to become Jews. How sad it would be. And then remember this truth. This truth, the mystery was not revealed until the time of the Apostle Paul. Paul and other apostles and prophets were the ones God specially chose for this mystery to be revealed to. Paul saw that it was a great and wonderful privilege to be shown this very, very important truth and be appointed by God to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so he says in verse 8, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Now look at our own privileges today. We have been revealed this mystery too, through the word of God, so that it no longer is a mystery to us. The gospel is for Jews, the gospel is for Gentiles. And we have also been commissioned to carry out this very, very important, to carry this message, important message to others who are outside of the kingdom of God. Do you not see it as a privilege? Friends, understand this truth. This privilege was not given to Gentiles, not given to angels. This privilege is given to us. God could have chosen angels and made use of the angels to share this message. But God didn't choose the angels to do that. God has chosen us as Gentiles and all of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to share this message. We have been appointed to be ambassadors. Yes, to share this gospel with others. My dear friends, we have been given this very, very wonderful privilege to carry this message to those who are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what should we do with this privilege? Take it lightly? No, my dear friends, let's treasure it. It's given to us, not given even to angels, given to us. Yes, let's treasure this privilege. Let's go on our knees to thank him with this prayer. Lord, I thank you for saving me, who am a wretched sinner. Thank you that you have not only saved me, but you have given me the privilege, who am the least of all saints, to serve you as an ambassador to represent you. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the privilege of knowing the gospel, so that the gospel is not a mystery to me. Thank you for giving me the privilege to bear the gospel to others. You have not chosen angels, but you have chosen me. Yes, no, you have chosen me. You have not chosen others who are more capable, better than I am, but you have chosen me. Thank you, O Lord. And Lord, by your grace, please enable me to treasure this privilege that you have given to me in changing me from a sinner to a saint in Christ, and in appointing me to be your ambassador. Help me, O Lord God, to be the best ambassador that you want me to be. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you, O Lord God, for giving us this wonderful privilege of saving us out of darkness into your marvelous light, in changing us from sinners to saints. Father, we pray that we may treasure this privilege. Teach us that so that we may be very, very thankful to you for the privilege that you have given to us. And we know also, Lord God, that along with this privilege comes responsibility. And the responsibility is that we should be the best ambassadors that you want us to be. Oh Lord God, help us that we may do well for you. Teach us, O Lord God, to manifestly treasure this privilege and to do so in a very, very practical way. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Back to Preacher Cole.